Time to look back on racing around Australia yesterday. Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney are about to join me. And we'll start with you, Dino, racing at Caulfield yesterday, the focus for us. But some international racing overnight too that we'll touch on at the end of the hour.
Yeah, certainly was, Warren. A terrific meeting, an Irish Derby meeting, and continues again at the Curra tonight. But, yeah, Caulfield, I think what I learned from Caulfield was when the rails in the 12-metre spot, it's pretty much on the fence unless we get those winds down the side. And yesterday, calm day, and we saw that gee, it was hard to make ground out wide. And a lot of the races were very moderate tempos, and we touched on that yesterday morning at the start of the show on the panel that you know, the fields aren't as big when the rail's out 12 metres, and that sometimes they get their spot and they can be a bit pedestrian. And a couple of those races certainly fit that category.
And we'll get into that review shortly. Brendan Delaney, what was your take on racing at Caulfield yesterday?
Had to be up close to the speed until they decided to go too fast and then let them run over the top. But, yeah, close to the speed, down close to the inside was definitely the place to be.
Wasn't the highest rating benchmark race of the day, but I thought the seventh race benchmark, 84 with Alpha Oro, who may well even head to the Monash Stakes at his next start, was one of the highlights, Ben Mallum and Matt Laurie combining.
Up around the turn at the 400, Alpha Oro held together by a length, Sam's Image, followed by Propel behind them, then Limbs Lightning, the Centurion, Price Range Bullocks into the clear from Sansom down the middle, then Missiano. Alpha Oro extends at the 200 metres, sprints 2.5, 3 lengths, Price Range, Sansom and Propel. Alpha Oro punched out 100 metres to go, has a good margin, and the picket fence continues to grow. Alpha Oro impressive today, defeated Sansom. Ruben Blur up for third, then Propel, Price.
How do you see his win, Dino?
Yeah, pretty much a pretty clinical display. Not in the manner I thought he'd probably win. I thought he'd probably have a couple of horses to aim up at, and we heard Matt Laurie earlier in the last hour mention that as well, that I was pretty much of the thought that Sam's Image would want to lead with the lightweight and the blinkers on, and obviously Limbs Lightning's gone quickly in the past, but the Pacifiers certainly had their desired effect on him to settle. Didn't race very well in them, but it meant that Alpha Oro, Ben Mallum, had to make a decision, and he just rode him like the best horse, cruised up inside them, and he produced the best figures of the day, according to Daily Sectional Times. And, yeah, I thought it was how I expected him to win, like the margin-wise, because I think he's a very good horse in a different fashion to how it turned out. Sanson ran really well. He's close to win. Ruben Blur ran the best 600, 400, 200 of the meeting. I just think he's got to be ridden that way, and he's better at 1,200 ridden that way. When he got close to Alpha Oro, he's ridden closer to the speed, but he's better off the pace, and he swooped late and ran very well.
Nothing from a examination post-race for both Sam's Image and Limbs Lightning. And Dino, you referenced that you thought they would be part of the tempo. With them not really adopting that type of role, it said that it was a high rating performance from Alpha Oro. From a time point of view, how quick did they go?
Oh, well, they just went below standard the first 300 metres. They picked that up by about a length and a half in the middle stages and then maintained it to the line. Now, the track playing in that soft range didn't allow them to run blistering times, but what it was a good, even, sustained gallop, and that's where a horse like Ruben Blur has produced the best figures from the 1,000. Only the 800 sectional wasn't the quickest, but the last 600 home were, and Alpha Oro was the second-best 1,000 for the day. So it was a good, even gallop. It wasn't that I thought that there'd be a bit of a charge early and Alpha Oro would have the sit on them and then just whiz past them. It was one in a different manner to probably pre-race anticipation, but still one in a very good style.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, similar to Dino, pre-race, I thought he might be just tucking you behind a nice speed. And it looked through the early part of the race, Ben Mallum was waiting for that speed to come. But when Sam's Image was taking his time getting over, he just let Alpha Oro roll and he ended up right up on the speed. And he was dominant, really impressive to the eye, that little turn of foot that he's got late to really put them away. I thought Sansom was good. Ruben Blur, as Dean outlined, culled right off the speed, closed off nicely. I thought Propel was a solid enough return, got into a really striking position when they were about to straighten up and was there to win, but a nice enough return from Propel. But all in all, Alpha Oro, he's really impressive, and who knows where he might have got to without those injuries, but I think he's going to scale some bigger heights than this after the performance yesterday.
be guilty myself of this, Dino, a throwaway line at times of just saying what a great training performance. But I think the training performance of Matt Laurie here with Alpha Oro, nursing the horse back, placing him through the little rise in grades, just slowly climbing the ladder and being able to just effectively produce an improved performance each time. It has been a terrific training performance by Matt and the team involved with Alpha Oro.
Certainly has, Warren. And what I loved about this part of the story was that after he won at Flemington, I think a lot of trainers would have tried to fashion a race for him and run him out of the handicap or whatever. But Matt said, no, this is the next best option. We'll wait, give him the tick over trial, and he's just building the horse's points, but with maximum earning potential. I think it's just a really, really fine example of... He's had a few of these horses that have had really good winning strike rates, Matt Laurie, over the journey, and I think that's because they seem to put a lot of thought into their placement and using the class system to maximum advantage.
Talk, and Matt's going to just monitor him over the coming days and weeks, but potentially a couple of weeks into the Monash Stakes, how would his level of performances measure up against potentially that class of opposition?
Yeah, just don't know what's going to appear at this time of year, so it might be a really good opportunity. And he's won his way through enough grades now that he wouldn't be throwing away a lot if he went to a race like the Monash and won it. It'd probably be the next step. So it's probably a good time maybe to test the waters.
Yeah, Brendan, obviously without knowing the quality of opposition, it's hard to gauge, but fit horses that are on the rise can quite often be very good I suppose, conveyances in those types of races, particularly with his racing style where, you know, he's going to be able to make his own luck in that type of race.
Well, he's got the miles in the legs, doesn't he? He's going to be up there close to the speed, and he's going to be there for a long way. As we say, we don't know who's going to be there, and we don't know what level of fitness they're going to be at. So he can certainly take advantage of being the horse that's fitted up and running in a Monash for sure.
What was your take on the return of Propel, Dino, and what we might look for from her in the weeks ahead?
Well, Propel is beyond 1,000 metres. She's a touch vulnerable, so it makes it a little bit tricky for her. She was going to run third and just got nabbed on the line. It was a good performance in return, but, her figures, you look at them, and she gradually just can't get beyond that 1,000 to a winning effect at this stage. She hasn't won beyond 1,009 or something like that. So, yeah, I'd love to see her in a 1,000-metre race where she can use that ripping turn of foot and be running through the line. Beyond the 1,000, she doesn't quite run through the line as well. But she ran quite well. And the interesting, I think he's a bit of a project horse now, is price range, because he went way too hard at his first run within himself, virtually ran out of air and stopped very quickly. The team brought him back to 1,100 metres yesterday to get him chasing, and I think it worked okay. I think, it wasn't a spectacular run, but I think they'd have been pleased with where price range ran yesterday with an eye to maybe building him up going forward.
The day started off with the two-year-olds over 1,100 metres, Johnny Maloney and Damien Oliver combined with Saltpeter.
Clean Machine just in front on the corner at the 400 from Saltpeter. Euphoric Summer slides up three wide. Your Long Island behind them with Impulsive Tycoon. Then Savannah Cloud, Tolkowski, Limpet is next. And then came Chance Given. It's Clean Machine at the 200 metres in front of Saltpeter. Euphoric Summer, Savannah Cloud down the outside running on but laying in. Clean Machine grabbed by Saltpeter. Saltpeter up to Clean Machine, who's giving Saltpeter just in front and one. Saltpeter from Clean Machine, Savannah Cloud and fourth Euphoric.
How'd you see the first race, Brendan?
Race dominated by those horses up on the speed. Clean Machine bounced and rolled, and Ollie was pretty keen to be up there on Saltpeter, and then Euphoric Summer looped around as well, but 1-2 controlled the race and were dominant late. Saltpeter just getting the upper hand over Clean Machine. I thought Savannah Cloud was really good, three wide, under pressure on the turn. I thought the chase was good to the line. Euphoric Summer, just that little bit of a mid-race move that she made when those up the front were trying to catch a breather, just told on her late. I thought Limpet was okay to the line. Yulong Island had a good run behind them, but couldn't really finish off. But it was just a race that Ollie went forward and controlled outside the speed. Clean Machine was honest, but just couldn't hold off the winner.
Two suspensions to come out of the meeting came from this race. James Winks aboard Impulsive Tycoon and Brad Rewilla aboard Tolkowski, both suspended for various incidents of careless riding. Dino, what was your take on the first?
Yeah, I think the most important line in the stewards report about race one is Euphoric Summer, slow to begin and then hampered. That changed the race significantly. I think Ollie would have been trying to go across with Euphoric Summer and get to the spot he did, but without her there, it became a lot easier, and then she had to make some sort of move to get into the race. So it changed the race significantly, start, and I thought Euphoric Summer ran very well, considering that she raced, I think, outside of where they'd want to have been in the run. But Solpeter, what he's got good strength, this horse. He used it mid-race and then was tough late, and he was good. Didn't think the format of the sale race worked out that well, so, yeah, just a watch on that form. But Savannah Cloud, as mentioned by Brendan, was good, and I think Limpet's a nice horse. I think you see him get to 1400 in Flemington or something like that, he'll come into his own. But yeah, a really smart ride, and reading the immediate situation that he was faced with Ollie there with Euphoric Summer beginning slowly, probably took her spot and ultimately won the race.
Might see a form line that's evolving to be a very preeminent form line, isn't that the Cherry Tortoni form line, Dino? Not putting it in the Malaguira category from years gone by, but the form around Cherry Tortoni, early references, seems to be holding up well, as does Cherry Tortoni himself.
Yeah, it certainly does. And that's the thing. There's the, you know, sale 2-year-old maidens, often they get such a lovely track, and they're, you know, often on relatively good ground. And Cherry Tortoni's win, the form is coming out of that race really well. Yet 2 weeks later, the Tolkowski maiden, I'm not so sure about. So, yeah, you've just got to monitor that. But, yeah, the Cherry Tortoni form line looks the good winter form line for mine.
John Maloney doing a good job with Saltpeter early in his career, and a good proactive ride to get him into a forward spot. Race two was over 1,600 metres, a benchmark 78, and Heavenly Emperor did some work to get into a forward spot.
Thought of that comes up towards the turn at the 450, just in front of Heavenly Emperor. Then came Parliament, Kaplumpich easing out four deep, Chortomic the inside behind those from Lord Geranti, then Reserve Street, and then Shakura, no say in it, hunting the inside, but Titan for room. Thought of that at the 200 metres in front of Heavenly Emperor. Then Chortomic, Kaplumpich still coming, followed by Lord Geranti, no say in it. It's Thought of That just in front of Heavenly Emperor, who's peppering away. Heavenly Emperor up to Thought of That in the shadows. Thought of That and Heavenly Emperor, the Emperor. The Emperor, the outside. Heavenly Emperor beat Thought of That, Kaplumpich and fourth short.
Mitch Aitken now riding as a senior rider. And Dino, you highlighted that yesterday morning, that wasn't able to take his claim on Heavenly Emperor yesterday. And no doubt a day that Mitch Aitken would remember, winning for Stephen Brown, Heavenly Emperor, as a senior rider at a metropolitan track.
Yeah, indeed, Warren. And I think, you know, it was a brave ride, because he took a long time to get to the spot he wanted, and whether he'd read the play of the day or whatever, it was the right move, and eventually got outside the lead. They ran about three lengths above standard for the first 800 metres, so they went at a good gallop, Thought of That, Heavenly Emperor, eventually settling 1-2. Kaplumpich, now I think Thomas Stockdale played the percentages down the side. He had Parliament 3 wide, and he just edged out 4 wide, and you know, I think if it had been later in the day, he'd have stayed in, and then followed Heavenly Emperor through when Parliament dropped off and may have gone very close to winning. But he went out, and it was then harder to win out there. Simple as that. So Kaplumpich ran well again. He's just not getting the rub of the green in this preparation. But then, you know, a horse like Lord Geranti, who has seen better days, he's an honest old horse, but he ended up in that spot where Kaplumpich might have been, end up running fifth. Kortomic used the inside draw to run well. That was always on the cards. And Shakura, I didn't know if she was sort of just going through the motions, but I thought her run yesterday was at least encouraging that she could win a mare's race. No saying it was the obvious hard luck story, ran straight into the back of them late, but had probably playing for the luck on the inside wasn't a bad thing, but it just didn't work out.
That first up on the back of a most recent jump out, a lot of form analysts, including myself, were questioning whether he was able to come back. His first up run at 1,600 metres looked encouraging. Dino, what was your take on it?
Well, it was. And the thing about it, it was he'd had a little bit of time from that jump out to the race yesterday, and the Mars stable put out through the week on social media that he'd worked very well. And they were right. He ran a lot better. I mean, he's not the horse that dominated Norman Robinson 8 months ago, but at least he showed something. And I do think he's a bit of a one-trick pony in that he's got to have his own way rolling along, and that's fine. And he'll get the right race to suit him. It was suitable yesterday. He nearly won, and he'll be fitter for that run.
Your thoughts here, Brendan?
Heavenly Emperor, good, Mitch Aiken. I think he might have just waited a little bit till they got over the top of the hill before he really put the foot down to improve on Heavenly Emperor. Took bad luck out of the equation that he had at Moonee Valley last time when he got stuck behind one that dropped in his face. He was brave, thought of that, good return, had to absorb that pressure. Dino Outline Traumatic was the horse in the right spot behind the speed and took a big step up in grade and ran well. Kaplumpich, honest as always. Lord Durandy, good. Shakura just got into an awkward position up the side when they did come up for a slight breather. She just wanted to get the head up there when the pace slackened and she made some ground from the back. I thought she was encouraging, as Dean outlined, and no saying it, played back to the inside. He comes out, he probably doesn't finish as close as he does, so I'm sure he found his way into a few black books there yesterday. Those horses back in the field behind were just never really in it. Reserve Street probably had an okay run. He was a little bit wide, but he dropped off tamely. But Heavenly Emperor, good effort, nice return, thought of that.
So, Dino, just back to Kaplumpich, pretty solidly run 1,600 metres, so you're not necessarily marking him down on that. It's more just, as you said, rubber the green and just, you know, not in the right place at the right time, just the way that the track was playing.
Yeah, I think it's his upper limit, but he certainly can run a mile, and I just think that... probably faced with that decision at about the 800 metre mark, even. Yeah, Thomas Stockdale in the absolutely perfect spot, but he had a three wide roughy in Parliament there, and he just eased across his heels and went to stride up. But as I said, I think if he had his time again, and especially how the day panned out, he'd have had more faith in Heavenly Emperor kicking on, because he was on his back and he came off that spot at about the 700 and ultimately he was out in that four wide lane and making the arcing run around the turn, and it was hard to do.
Michael Rodd's made a good fist of his visit back here to Australia from Singapore, and he's partnered up quite often with Lindsay Smith. They did so with Mystery Shot in race three yesterday.
Into the straight at the 300 metres. Scorpius went to the front from Mystery Shot, who's been given every possible chance. A gap, Salika, Tycoon Thunder and Splendor on the grass is winding up. Mystery Shot moves up to Scorpius below the 200. Mystery Shot a next. Scorpius, Splendor on the grass is flying home. Mystery Shot a length. Splendor on the grass won't get there, and Mystery Shot for Michael Rodd won a neck. Second, Splendor on the grass. Third is Scorpius, I'd say.
Well, he went around a $3.30 favourite, Brendan, so it wasn't as if he was back to the exclusion of all others, but he was pretty well found from the time that markets opened. I think punters might have been on pretty good terms with themselves from the time the barriers opened.
Yeah, he was put in a lovely spot by Michael Rodd, just in behind Stardaze and Scorpius. And when Stardaze dropped off and Scorpius kicked on, it just helped it out a little bit more. He rolled up there on the outside. Scorpius tried hard, but Mystery Shot, he was really solid there yesterday, drawing away. He'd probably had enough on the line, but he was really good, and the punters were rewarded. Scorpius just had to do that little bit of work to get across, got a bit tired early. Splendor on the grass, in retrospect to the running of the first two races where nothing had made ground at all, Splendor on the grass has flooded home down the outside, in which is probably close to, you know, nearly one of the better runs of the day. Evening Glory saved some ground back to the inside, was ducking and diving through there. But Mystery Shot, he's a nice horse. He's got plenty of talent. He was well backed when he resumed at Ballarat and held on that day, and he was doing enough to hold off Splendor on the Grass, who was the eye catcher late there yesterday. I thought No Change was okay as well. Got a long way back, wasn't as eye catching on Splendor on the Grass, but I thought the way the day played out, I thought his run was quite adequate.
I think he was a horse you were giving a chance to at odds too, Dino. No Change, who did work home from back in the field. What was your overall take on the race?
Yeah, you talk about having no luck. He's hit the rail three starts back, and then he's got on two on, you know, fence on tracks, and he's a run-on sort of horse, so he's just not getting much luck, No Change, at the moment. But I thought Michael Rodd set this up in the first 200 metres. He just made Scorpius work over the hill and then just came out of it. But just I think he got his spot, made Scorpius work, and then from there he could just absolutely dictate the race. So it was a really smart piece of riding and got the cover he wanted. Outside of Alpha Oro, I think Splendor on the Grass was the run of the day. It was an incredible performance, and it wasn't just a visual. It was, time-wise, She was the fifth best last 600 of the meeting, ninth best 400, eighth best 200. So it was a really good sustained run. She had to pick up from a long way back because she was slow to begin. And she was always going to go back probably from the draw, but geez, it was a tremendous run. Scorpius, this is about his level at this stage. He was on the back up. He ran okay. Saliga's going okay, but for mine, she's going through the motions a bit in that when we saw her run really well at Moonee Valley and then she went over for the Oaks and things like that, she was really at the peak of her form. She's competitive here, but this isn't the best of Saliga. And, yeah, Evening Glory fair and no change. Yeah, he was just out there. He worked to the line okay. He was the 11th best last 200 of the meeting. So, as Brendan said, it wasn't as flashy as Splendor in the grass, but he still did hit the line okay.
What I'd say with Saliga, just interesting your take on this, just from that draw and the way the track appeared to be playing, I think they probably rode her a pair or two closer to try and take advantage of the pattern. And for that reason, she didn't seem to be able to quicken, just held her ground to the line. But, I mean, that might be being cutting a little bit of slack for her because she did get a nice enough run in transit. But I just thought the best of her is when she's just that little bit further off the speed, Dean.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, Warren. I think with what had happened the first couple of races, they definitely took advantage of being that bit closer. I'm just getting up her figures from previous runs, and when she was right at the peak of her form, like in Adelaide and the run at Moonee Valley, she was running around benchmark figures. She's running about 3 to 3.5 lengths below now, and that tells me she's still a competitive racehorse, but we're not absolutely seeing the best of her.
You're thinking you might see from Mystery Shot as he gets deeper into this preparation?
What I like is that when he's challenged, he can really find. He did that at Ballarat, and Lindsay Smith said in a pre-race interview on racing.com that day that, you know, he had a fair bit of improvement in him, but when he was challenged, he wanted the win. And again, yesterday, you know, when he just had to dig deep, he's got that capacity to do so. So, yeah, look, at the moment, he looks a really good off-season horse, and I think even Lindsay mentioned that he might be a good horse to put away and then really, you know, build up his prize money and points over summer in the next off-season. But whatever he does, he's going to be a good competitive racehorse.
It's a very competitive market in race 4 for the fillies and mares at benchmark 84 level over 1,200 metres. Dan Stackhouse put She's a Thief in the right spot.
She's a Thief comes up to the turn at the 400 metres, leading by a length Power O'Hara, who still has the advantage of the inside, then River Jewel, Zubo Deeper. Behind those, Laburnum and Secura from Gadodden, Queen Annabelle, Mystery Love, Anjana, Zabella, Arena. She's a Thief at the 200 metres. The grey went for home, a length and a half, River Jewel, and then came Zubo, Laburnum trying to get into the clear, but the leader, She's a Thief in the shadows from River Jewel, Laburnum and Secura. She's a Thief holding on for dear life in the grey one. From River Jewel, Laburnum and Secura, then Zubo.
When they jumped, Dean, it was $7 the field, so it was a tough market to sort out. I settled on Secura each way as a bit of value. She duly ran fourth. How did you see the race?
I got this race wrong. I was with Secura and Zabella Arena, and she couldn't keep up Zabella Arena early. Didn't get beaten far, but She's the Thief. It was all about position and running and momentum. Coming into the turn, she really strode, and I would have thought that having seen the first three races, they might have really ripped along on Power O'Hara, but she just went at a pretty even speed and then looked a bit awkward around the turn, lost her momentum and lost any chance. But She's a Thief was just beautifully positioned, used her tactical speed to advantage. River Jewel was always going to be right there as well, and she ran well. Laburnum did quite a good job with the big weight. Secura sound. Zubo ridden that little bit closer, just ground away, probably a bit like what you said about Saliga, just ridden that closer. She dulled her finish, but ran okay. But the market summed it up pre-race, and that's how I'm going to treat it as a post-race review, that position in running was everything here, and that was the difference between running first and nowhere.
Hey, what are you thinking, Brendan?
Well, just looked at a couple of stages in the home straight. They were going to get to her and who was going to go past, but she just kept on fighting. She's a Thief. She was pretty brave at Moonee Valley going back last time, and the pattern of the day yesterday certainly played into her hands, intent on getting across and having her up where she likes to be. She was brave. River Jewel ran well, had the soft run on the back of the winner, but just couldn't get past Laburnum. In restricted room with the big weight, I thought was a really commendable performance. Secura tracked through near the inside, saved the ground, has run well. Zabalarina, Dean said she couldn't keep up early, but I thought she was doing some nice work late. And then a horse like Gododdin, how many times can you go back and forgive Gododdin? But wide there yesterday wasn't the spot to be. Queen Annabelle didn't have the room that she probably would have liked. But she's tough. She's a thief. She was tough at Moonee Valley. She toughed it out well yesterday too.
Easy to focus on the Metropolitan Premiership battle between Williams and Oliver, but Dan Stackhouse and Jai McNeil are fighting out the statewide premiership. And Dan Stackhouse is a really great example of a hard-working jockey, I suppose, got really good support from Peter Moody when Peter was training previously and had to work hard to rebuild his career. And he's done a terrific job at doing that.
He certainly has, Warren, and I think he might have just turned 30 in the last week or so, Dan, and I think his riding shows that maturity now. They go through that patch when they come out of their apprenticeship and find their feet, and as you said, he had great backing that just disappeared there for a while, but he's got some really good contacts now, riding really well, and probably the best of his riding still to come. So that's he's going to establish himself as a genuine Saturday rider for years to come.
The level of attention that Dean Benace and his stable have to give Felicia rivals at Udita Clark levels, I think, with some of the horses that she has to put the time and effort into. Listening to Dean talk about the trials and tribulations of getting Felicia to the races and running her best. She was able to do that in race 5 yesterday.
500 to run. Night Express just in front of Felicia. A length and a half, Brazen Song, who just ambles out three wide, three quarters of a length off the speed. Paris is tracking her. Then Zack Attack, Leal Power Boom, and back behind them, Dadorable. Night Express, Felicia, without deeper, Brazen Song. Stockdale about to call on her from Paris. Leal runs on from Power Boom, but Felicia accelerates. 200 metres to go with a turn of foot. Two lengths in front, three lengths in front of in second. Trying hard, Brazen Song, but Felicia impressive and darts away to win it by four legs on the line. Really attacked the line from Brazen Song and Paris, and then Leal.
Gee, they spread out here, Brendan, and Felicia there riding the speed and did quicken down nicely, or look to. What was your take on the race?
Yeah, she was dominant, wasn't she? Right up there on the speed, pleased to be there yesterday. But regardless of her being in the right spot, she really gave them a good beating and she gave them no chance when she put the foot down and really kicked. It was a real dominant performance. Brazen Song just sat in behind Felicia, held the rest comfortably, but couldn't get to within four lengths of Felicia. Thought Paris grounded out okay. The Arlene was okay. First up, Power Boom down the centre of the track where you probably didn't want to be. Horse that was really disappointing for mine was Night Express. Go back to her win. I know it was on the Parks track at Morfettville 3 runs ago back in April. She was superb that day, and since then she really hasn't fired a shot. She's been disappointing at the back end of her races since that win. Hopefully everything's okay with her, but they might have to go back to the drawing board. She was well in the market yesterday, but Felicia, super impressive, and she gave nothing else a chance at beating her, really.
Stuart spoke to Michael Rodd, who rode Night Express, the horse that you highlighted that was disappointing, Brendan. Michael reported the filly weakened quickly when placed under pressure, may have come to the end of the preparation. Veterinary examination didn't reveal anything post-race, but you'd be scratching your head and wanting to find something rather than just thinking that was that level of performance. But Felicia looked dominant. Dino, how did she rate in terms of her performance on the day?
Yeah, well, she certainly ran the 1,200 out well off that. It was always going to be not a strong speed, and that's why I was giving Night Express a good chance, but a bit like Mystery Love in the previous, it's hard to back fillies or mares back into form, and she went poorly, but Felicia's going great guns. And, it was a good figure overall. They went steady early and they backed it off a little bit in the middle to the average, and then she ran home really powerfully. Second best last 200 of the meeting and the best last, second best last 400 and best last 200 of the meeting, or equal best. So it was a really good finishing gallop for her, and she's very consistent. So she deserved that win. And Brazen Song was on a quick backup, ran really well. Paris was sound. I think she'd have preferred it even wetter. And Leal's a filly that I like when she can dictate, and that happens when she gets to 1,600. So her return off her short break was pretty good. But, all honours with the winner. She deserved it, and she won accordingly.
Could there be a maiden for Dadorable sometime soon?
I would think so. Tadorable trialled really well back in early June, but it was about 4 weeks ago. So I just wonder if something had gone wrong between the trial that we all saw and her first up run yesterday. So I think whilst they're three, you give them a little fly at these Super Bobus and three and racing in your own age group. But there's only a month of them to go. And then if she hasn't won, you know, a city race, then she could go back to a maiden and knock it off pretty easily.
And worth noting, now trained by Chris Hyland, the partnership between Chris and his father, Pat, has been dissolved, with Pat taking more of a back seat, effectively a semi-retirement or retirement from training. And probably worth reflecting on the contribution that Pat Hyland's made, Dino. He's sailed off into the sunset as a trainer pretty quietly, but obviously just a legendary racing figure and a deserved member of the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Winning the four majors fantastic tribute that Tony Kneebone put together in this week's winning post about Pat and that Chris was going now solo, and Chris saying that whilst everyone remembers the What a Nuisance Melbourne Cup, it was Pat winning on Affinity just some 5 months after he got really badly smashed up in a fall on Goodwood Day back in 1984, and then came back to win the Caulfield Cup 5 months later, and then the Melbourne Cup a year later. And as you said, I used to clock his horses down at Cranbourne when he was training. Had great success as a trainer with Group 1 horses. And, as you said, quietly sailed off. But Chris will keep the baton going. And, with how we got onto this topic, he'll have a win with Dedorable pretty soon, I think.
Dedorable may be a maiden winner. And Felicia, good to see Dean Benace. And certainly a victory that meant a lot to the stable and to Dean back in winning form yesterday. They might have overcooked it in race 6 over 1,000 metres. Lucifer's Reward was sweeping down the middle of the track with Michael Poy aboard.
Up towards the turn at the 400. Just in front on the inside, Iconic Star from Elderflower, Miss Catherine, three wide. Proper Rogue behind them. Brazen Brando, four deep, two off the lead. Acumen brought to the middle with Lucifer's Reward, then Little Stevie and Wilmot Pass. Iconic Star, Elderflower with Brazen Brando, Acumen, and Lucifer's Reward under the arches. Right down the outside, Lucifer's Reward goes to the front from Elderflower. Proper Rogue runs on Wilmot Pass late. Lucifer's Reward at the 50 in front. Proper Rogue charging home. Too late. Lucifer's Reward beat Proper Rogue. Photo third, Wilmot Pass, Elderflower.
I mentioned they might have overcooked it. Dino, what did they do in the early stages of this race?
Yeah, well, they went quickly. First couple of hundred metres a length above standard and then above average through the middle stages. But not so much they overcooked it. They all rode to we always knew there was going to be good speed in the race. I just didn't have it being Lucifer's Reward, having his fifth run in 35 days, third consecutive Saturday, turning around his form. I could excuse him a little bit last week, maybe being in the worst ground, but just didn't think he was getting better at this stage of the campaign. He put in a massive peak run to win on the Pakenham Synthetic 4 or 5 runs back, and since then he's been going just fairly. But, he turned it around yesterday and won. I think with clear running, Proper Rogue shortens that margin considerably. He just got held up behind the tiring horses to the inside, and when he got clear, he had no momentum, whereas Lucifer's Reward had the full head of steam up. So taking nothing away from Lucifer's Reward's win, but I think Proper Oak should have got pretty close. And Elderflower was the one of the speed element that stuck on. I thought she might be the one that would be most vulnerable, but she stuck on well to run third, continuing a really good run for Lindsay Smith and his team in the Bowman. Wilmot Pass, I think we all thought he'd be the run-on horse in the race, and it might be just a bit short for him. He ran really well, but it probably was just that bit short for him.
What'd you make of this race, Brendan?
Yeah, well, they might have overcooked it. They might have turned the roast beef into a lump of coal in the oven. They mightn't have put it on the clock that they were going at, you know, breaking all sorts of records, but just racing within themselves in that line of three didn't help their causes at all for Iconic Star and Miss Catherine. The one out three deep, as Dino outlined, Elderflower was really super, the one of that trio that stuck on. Lucifer's Reward had the pattern against him at Moonee Valley, worst ground at Flemington, if you want to, you know, go scraping at the barrel to make a case for him, but it just set up there well there for him yesterday, the way the pace was for him to work over the top. I think Proper Rogue probably should have beating all things being equal. Wilmot Pass, with that speed on, he really couldn't keep up. Froggy was at him on the turn to try and improve. Once he got a full head of steam up, he was really good to the line. You would think 1,000 is a bit too short for him, but they went fast in front, and Lucifer's Reward had the momentum at the right time to be able to take advantage of it.
couple via the SMS, Dino. One from Razza, and we've talked about being on speed was an advantage, but Razza's indicating that he thinks right hard up against the fence seemed a difficult place to win from. So is there an element of thought that you needed to be just on speed, but perhaps a little bit off the absolute inside of the fence? How did you see that?
I'm just going through the winners now. Yeah, that, I mean, that's a fair point. One off for up, but more position in running that you couldn't come out wider and loop. As I said, a lot to do with the tempo of the races. And as Brendan said in this previous race, whilst it wasn't apparent, that they were always going to go at a good... They were always probably going to eyeball each other, and ultimately two of them cracked and Elderflower kept going. And the other one I want to mention out of that race is Acumen. He's a really awkward going horse when you see him. I think he just needs bone dry ground. He's had three runs on the wet. His first one at Bendigo wasn't too bad, but his two runs on the wet since have been just fair, and his big figures are on dry ground, so I think he's looking for dry ground.
Another one via the SMS, Dino. Greg's doing a little bit of fishing. Greg from Essendon. Dino, do you have a best at Ballarat today if you've done the form?
Well, there's been a lot of scratchings, and I do have a best, but it's got into... little touch of the odds on now, and that is Carnamar in race 2, number 1. But it certainly has been knocked around, that meeting being transferred from the turf to the synthetic.
I think decimated's the word. I've had to do some work for racing.com for that meeting, and actually have lobbed on the same horse as my best bet. But it is very tight now. But I think on the back of that debut run, that Carnamar could be breaking through second go today out to 1,500 metres. Thanks, Razza and Greg, for your input via the SMS. Lucifer's Reward taking out race 6, Brendan McCarthy and Michael Poy combining at Caulfield yesterday. Alfa Oro took out race 7, one of the highlights of the day. One of the more anticipated clashes of the day was Harbour Views taking on a good field, race 8 at Caulfield yesterday.
At the 450, Miramar moves up on the outside and sprints up to claim Sir Coney, who had a kick. Two lengths, Salsa Moore. Harbour View's got to fourth. Mahamadeus drops off. WT still there, the inside from Sir Pippin. It's Sir Coney at the 250 and Miramar stride for stride. Harbour View's is running on, then Salsa Moore. Still Sir Coney at the 125 from Miramar. Harbour View's not getting there. Sir Coney just in front. Miramar thrusting at it. Sir Coney and Miramar. Miramar takes the lead to win it. Miramar beats Sir Coney, so Salsamore third and Harbour Views only fourth.
Not what you wish to hear, but when you see that type of performance against market expectations from Harbour Views, you're looking for something, and the stewards report indicating that he was lame in the left foreleg post the race. So on the evidence of what we saw in the race, you thought there perhaps had to be something wrong with Harbour Views?
I might see if Matty Nevitt can chase up and just see with Matt Williams how Harbour Views is this morning. But it was a messy race. It was a very, very pedestrian tempo. The first 1,200, about 23 lengths below standard. And this was a bit of a three-card trick because Sir Coney, who was going to 2,000 for the first time, he led in the Swan Hill Cup about 9 lengths above standard. So I think there were a lot that thought he'd probably be hard to restrain at 2,000 metres. Ultimately, he led very pedestrian speed, nearly pinched the prize. Harbour Views, he got back off that speed, and read a lot of commentary saying that Johnny Allen should have rolled forward. If he does that fire Sir Coney up and then they get into more of a battle? I don't know. But, just the asterisk now is on this run with regard to the lameness, because that's certainly... Even though he ran fourth, it was the worst performance of his career. Really, he didn't find the line at all, and hopefully that's the main reason why.
Good training performance from Mike Moroney to keep Miramar fresh from the Warrnambool Cup, and Lewis German. We were talking to Mike earlier on. Lewis probably got going a few strides after Mike wanted him to, but effectively rode him the way he wanted the horse ridden to make it as tough a test late as possible. And that was probably even more relevant given the fact that they went pretty slow early, Dean.
Yeah, and that's the thing about them when they go slowly, Warren. If they go slowly to the 400, it's just a sprint home. But he actually dragged that sprint out for a bit further. So really ramped it up from about the 700. And so that made it not a long staying test, like from a complete gallop, but at least that extended their sprint out. And I think then he became a little bit tough for Ciccone at the end of 2,000 metres. Salsamore ran pretty well. Credence is absolutely low flying. We saw him up on the speed, on a reasonable speed, two starts back when he won at Flemington. Yesterday, he was just totally out of the contest, but reeled off the fifth best last 400 of the meeting, sixth best last 200. So he's totally in the zone, that horse, and he'll win again soon for Matt Kamani.
What was your thoughts on this race, Brendan?
Slowly run. They went at a really pedestrian tempo, and well, I thought Harbourview was probably in the right spot that he wanted to be. Three pairs back, one off, with his opportunity to roll around the outside. You just hope that that degree of lameness is sufficient enough to warrant him being a little lacklustre in that last 200 metres when he looked like he was going to be right in the finish, making the turn in. Not sure he really appreciated either when Mahamadeus whipped up around his outside to try and make something happen in a race where there wasn't a lot happening up on the speed. Ciccone Miramar sat close to the speed, had a good battle between them. WT got into an awkward spot, was right there behind them on the fence, and then Talia Hope just edged off coming to the turn, and she got into a little bit of a traffic jam and then went back to the inside. You'd think he's going to appreciate maybe a little bit more ground and maybe a little bit more tempo, and he's not far off winning a race. And Dino outlined Credence, he's really racing at the peak of his powers at the moment. His run yesterday against the tempo was really good.
Dino, you're expecting in some way an improved performance from Sir Pippin yesterday, but he went around an $18 chance, so it's not as if he was heavily in the market. He was slow to begin in a slowly run race. What did you make of his run?
Yeah, the ground probably didn't come up quite as firm as, you know, I thought it would be on the bit better side than it was. And he's a horse that appreciates a good gallop, and this is where I totally misread the race. I thought Ciccone would be rolling at a good gallop. He went at a slow speed. I think Sir Pippin in a more truly run race on a bit better ground, then you can assess him. But totally inconclusive for me yesterday how he's going.
Morrissey went around in the last. Sonaree looked like the leader and consequently was supported into favourite. $3.90 for Lindsay Park, but Morrissey had the last crack.
Sonaree with on the outside Morrissey as they quicken up at the 300. Sondalon back to the inside. Then Poetic Dream, Cadigan and Onslaught, followed by Salon du Chevelle. Sonaree grabbed by Morrissey. 100 metres to go. Morrissey from Sonaree. It's a real sprint to the line. And Morrissey, Craig Williams will do enough. Morrissey scored by a length, Sonaree and Sondalon. Then...
How'd you see the last, Brendan?
Another race where it was slowly run. Sonaree Morrissey up on the speed and they fought it out. Sondalon set him behind them and ran third. Those back in the field really had very little chance. Dogmatic finished it off pretty well. He was one of the eye catchers late, but it was just controlled from the front as some of the races were there yesterday. And Morrissey was the one that was able to outsprint Sonaree at the back end and probably draw away from him late. As I mentioned, Dogmatic, he had the speed against him, got to the line okay. Travi, my friend, was solid. Onslaught probably had his chance, but you can make an excuses for those that were probably behind Call Me Royal, who didn't have the clearest of room in the straight. Just put a line through them and say, well, those horses behind were never really going to play a part in the finish from pretty much by the time they went over the top of the hill.
What do you think of the last, Dean?
I thought that this is a classic example of position in running versus speed, and Sonaree led. Last time he led at Mornington at about 5.5-6 lengths above the average. Yesterday he led at about 9.6 below average. So he found the same spot in the field, but he was going slow, and it was a sprint home, whereas at Mornington he led at a fast speed and took the sting out of his rivals. Now, I think had he rolled at a harder speed and made Morrissey run a strong 1440, he'd have given himself a better chance of winning. He ran well. Morrissey, it was evident a long way out because they were going steady, he was going to win the race, and ultimately he got the job done. Sondalon ran quite well. Back in the field, Travi, my friend, surprised it was back, ran quite well. Dogmatic, okay. Even Call Me Royal, it was a surprise that she got back but hit the line okay. But yeah, I think they missed a little trick yesterday with Sonaree. I'd love to have seen him lead and really, really make it a test. And he doesn't usually run a very fast last 200, and yet he ran the 12th best last 200 of the meeting. So didn't ride to his assets yesterday.
Brendan was saying he was forgiving of some horses back in the field, and that tempo that you've outlined probably was going to make it difficult for horses that settled midfield or worse to make up any ground.
You're right. I mean, they've come home in some of the better sectionals of the day. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 horses broke 12 seconds the last 200 metres on a track where they weren't. That wasn't sort of the norm. So for a 1440 metre race, they just went very steady. Made Morrissey, who I think 1400 is a competitive distance for him, but I think it sees him right out. It made it very much an easier task for him to win yesterday. And, good training to get him back in form. I think Sonari, when it's tough, that's when he likes it best.
Drag it out, Sonari. And talking to Troy Corson's earlier on, Dean, we know so many training operations now have a variety of facilities, but a farm just outside of Benalla, just saw some vision on racing.com in the last couple of days of that, with horses cantering around open paddocks and uphill and down dale. We heard Mike Moroney talk about equestrian work, etc. The skills that the trainers use to try and keep their horses fit and interested but maintain a bit of variety, certainly wide and varied nowadays.
That's right, Warren. I mean, it's an expensive caper having horses in work. So to once you get them up and going, it's good to see them, trainers trying different things to stimulate them to keep the preparations going. And if it means a short break going up to that farm, I've seen that footage at racing.com, looks terrific. It would really take them out of the city environment, or if they go to the beach environment with Leon and Troy's Geelong base, and we see Danny O'Brien's footage at 13th Beach and those sort of things. It's fantastic that these trainers are thinking outside the square, because they've got to, to get these results, you've got to keep ticking the horses over and stimulating them.
Another one via the SMS, and obviously there's that degree of lameness yesterday, but Gavin from Boronia saying, surely if Harbour Views couldn't win yesterday, it shouldn't be worried about the Cox Plate. I suppose there's a certainly an element of, if you were going to, you wanted to be winning yesterday, Dino, I suppose to be thinking about the Cox Plate, but maybe there is an asterisk next to that performance yesterday.
I would be thinking that his best chance on Cox Plate Day would be running in a Crystal Mile or something, but I've never factored in a Cox Plate for him. But he certainly, depending on that degree of lameness, he's got a legitimate excuse for yesterday's run anyway. Forget about what he's going for the future.
But you're absolutely right, Gavin from Boronia. It's a long way to go from any of the performances yesterday to be targeting a Cox Plate, which will obviously be a significantly stronger race despite the fact that we're in a COVID year. It's 9 to 10 on RSN 927. We'll take a break, come back and look interstate and overseas. Racing in Sydney yesterday, a couple of stakes races, but Dino, not a race that was necessarily a feature race on the card, but just wanted to touch on the Stayers' Cup. We don't run a lot of races over the 3,200 metres, and we had a blaze going up there to perform, and I suppose effectively flying the flag, just a horse that's such an interest for us. What did you make of a blaze's performance? We had Ray Thomas telling us that he just probably wasn't fast enough for the 3,200 metres, and a good day for Frank Cook taking out that race.
Yeah, indeed. I thought I didn't know a lot of, I hadn't done a lot of the form, but I thought it was a real challenge for a blaze, because in days gone by, we thought that horses coming off the Grand Annual wouldn't be sharp enough to win an Australian steeple, let alone a 3,200-metre flat race. So I thought he had a little bit of a challenge yesterday. I mean, he got put into a tremendous spot by James McDonald, but the warning signs were there. 800 from home, he was the first off the bit, and it was a long watch. And whilst that was going on, the winner, Sweet Thomas, was ducking up his inside there, and that was an inspired ride by Kieran McAvoy, who's a great rider, but we know him as a three-time Melbourne Cup winner, so he's a master at the staying caper, and he ran well. The other Victorian interest, I thought Latin Beat ran a terrific race at $71. He was following a blaze into the race and had to get going around him at about the 500, and I thought for Sabasan, he gave a great run for their money.
Couple of stakes races in Brisbane yesterday, also a handful of them, and another dollar, and Shawnee taking out a couple of the group races there. Chris Waller with a good day in Brisbane. Internationally, Dino, the Irish Derby overnight, you've been our international correspondent in recent weeks with an eye on the internationals. Let's have a listen to the closing stages of the Irish Derby.
Santiago has burst through the field to lead them in the closing stages of the Derby and is sprinting away from Tiger Mott, who's eating into the advantage on the outside, the Order of Australia. And after them is Gold May, Santiago, Tiger Mott still coming on the near side. They're inside the final half furlong. Santiago is digging to the end. Santiago, 14 Irish Derbies for Aidan O'Brien, has held Tiger Mott. Dawn Patrol from a long way back ahead of Order of Australia.
Well, no surprise that Aidan O'Brien was able to take it out. Dino, what can you tell us about Santiago?
Well, he, of course, won at Royal Ascot. And a few of the horses that ran last night that had run at Ascot, because of the very much condensed programming over there, they raced a little bit flat. But and Santiago mightn't have been quite at his best, but he staved off his stablemates, Tiger Moth, Dawn Patrol, Order of Australia. Tiger Moth and Dawn Patrol had come out of a really good maiden, but that's the way of the world over there with these improving staying horses. And yeah, I don't think the caller had to worry about Aidan getting that 14th win. He did run 1, 2, 3, 4 in the race, so they were. It was a good contest. It was a bigger field than usual, and it was a really good race to the line. But Australian interest over there last night probably wasn't so much in the Irish Derby, but the alleged stakes was won by Buckhurst. It was only a 3-horse field and a fascinating weight for age race, but Buckhurst for Team Williams was a good win, and I think a horse that's progressing well, hopefully we get to see him out here later in the year, because I think he's a horse that every time he steps out, he gets a little bit better. And a horse we saw last year's Melbourne Cup Twilight payment got the money in the Vintage Crop. And Master of Reality, of course, who was demoted in the Melbourne Cup after interference, he ran a first up sixth. He made a mid-race move, but really did peak on his run late, but probably did enough, but he just had enough on the line.
You able to take any of the action from the Irish Derby meeting, Brendan?
No, I was well and truly asleep by then, Warren. That was a little bit late for me to take in last night. A few of those horses in that the Stayers' Cup at Sydney probably would have been better off suited maybe at Casterton yesterday. There's some good racing there over the hedges. Yes. The Two Rivers was a pretty good race as well.
Geez, Amy McDonald does a terrific job with her jumps team, doesn't she, Dino? We'll touch on that meeting at Casterton, and Rick McIntosh to the fore with the Twin Rivers and Shamal just shouldering that big weight to take out the feature steeplechase and looks to be progressing nicely.
Yeah, it was, as Brendan said, it was a fantastic race, though. It was a great contest, and Brendan was a Taglio, and one of the others took it to each other from a long way out, and geez, it made for a great spectacle. Elverson, and they went solid from a long way out, and it was Shamal and Speedy Jacks. Tom Sadler gave it a really sweet ride, and I thought they were the two in the run, and he had the big weight. But you mentioned Amy McDonald, her horses, they just jump beautifully. They're always prepared, and they're always finding the line in the jumps races, so they've obviously got good base of fitness on them. So yeah, she's a really good trainer. Of any horses, but she does specialise in the jumps horses, and they run really well.
Good's Felix Bay going? He nearly won on the flat yesterday.
I thought he had, but he didn't quite hold off Nahani. I haven't seen the stewards report there, but I'd be surprised if Luke Williams didn't get a little pull up for a man of whip strikes, because as soon as he got clear air at about the 300, he was off and going for it. So yeah, Nahani getting up at $71 on the line.
Time to look forward or look back at yesterday's meeting, but trying to look forward and identify runs of the day and, in particular, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Start with you, Dino. How do we summarise yesterday?
Yeah, the best winning run of the day was Alpha Oro for me, Warren. The best run outside of that was Splendor in the Grass. And the horse to follow, I mentioned Credence, is going really well. I'll be following him. Even if he stays at 2,000, I'd be with him. If he steps up and trip, I think that would suit him as well. He's just going really well.
Great work today, Dino. Great work yesterday. Looking forward to your contributions during the week. And at short odds, we already know that, although you won't be previewing the meeting, you're best today, race two at Carnamar at Ballarat on the synthetic track. Thanks for this morning.
And just a footnote there, Warren, I did mention about Luke Williams. I've just checked that stewards report and the $1.04 shot got in. He actually got suspended for one calendar month and fined $750 because, he got a bit keen in the final stages.
Yeah, that windmill action's not really what they're looking for in the ride to the line in the modern era. Thanks for your help, Dino.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan, before you take the reins for Sunday Central and guide us through the preview with Harry White for the meeting on the synthetic track at Ballarat, what was your take on yesterday?
Alpha Oro is the runner of the day. Horses Defy, might head to cast it in for a couple. Tiger Tim and First Crush, couple of hurdlers. Tiger Tim had his first go yesterday. He was really good. He'll take plenty out of that. And First Crush on a bigger track than cast it. And you think he's going to be winning a hurdle race very, very shortly.